Hey, Brain Junkies, this is Amy with a quick announcement in honor of our latest episode on the history of beauty. We are giving away scrunchies to 5 lucky winners. And these aren't just any scrunchies. These are scrunchies made with love by my mom.
What is a scrunchie, you ask? Come back to the 80s and enjoy a rubber band that doesn't pull out your hair. It's covered with fabric, possibly neon colored, and way bigger than it needs to be. Wear it in your hair or on your wrist or over your leg warmers. Don't worry, we'll post a picture.
It'll be totally rad. How do you get one? Pop over to iTunes and review us. Make sure you leave a way to contact you, like a social media handle or your email. Please don't leave your address or phone number. We'll sign you up for all sorts of catalogs if you do.
Our 5 lucky winners will be selected randomly and announced on our podcast next Tuesday. Remember, you have 1 week to rate and review us on iTunes. Bonus points if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram.
And if you missed this contest, never fear. We are going to be giving away 10 amazing laptop stickers to our brain junkies who have rated and reviewed us when we pass 1,000 listeners. Yeah! More info to come on that, because we're almost there.
Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton. And today we're going to talk about beauty aids. Diving into history, it's important to remember that culture and people are always changing. We have to take a second look and try to understand that our ancestors weren't primitive, ignorant, or crazy.
Yeah, so we're telling you this because we're going to talk about some stuff today that's going to seem kind of strange. It's going to seem kind of out there. And to remember that people in the future will probably look back and judge some of what we do to be completely bonkers and sometimes gross, like
crimped hair,
80s bangs, blue eyeshadow.
I mean, love my 80s bangs. Bring it back, everybody. 80s bangs.
No, we do not need to bring that back. Today, we're going to bring you everything you never knew you wanted to know about beauty aids.
My first and our most ancient one, I think, is about the ancient Romans' love of white and shiny teeth. Tooth whitening also had, apparently it was ladies who tended more, which is interesting to me. It was a lady thing somewhat. I think everybody, but ladies liked the white teeth, and it was a wealthy thing. They wanted them pearly white. So they used a mouthwash. One of the things in nature that can disinfect and whiten is urine.
Oh, please tell me they weren't using people urine.
They were, but not Roman people urine.
Oh, completely different.
No, that was for the plebeians. The rich and wealthy felt that only Portuguese urine would do the job. I don't know how they decided this. I'm super curious about how they landed on that. It's those Portuguese. They've got what it takes to make our teeth pearly white.
Were they importing barrels of pee?
They were importing so many barrels of tea.
Not tea.
Not tea.
It was tea at one point.
Yes.
Then became pee.
Yep. So many barrels of pee, though, that Nero taxed it. It was actually a taxed import. There was a Roman market for that, too. So the Roman end of that system was they would just have public urination vats because it was also, it is a disinfectant. There's a lot of ammonia in urine. The Smithsonian, actually, we'll post this link on the website. The Smithsonian has a whole pee article. Shout out, Smithsonian. I love you guys. You are posting. I always think it's such an old and lauded institution, and it totally is. But they do not shy away from the weird and gross ooh things. Thanks, Smithsonian. You're the best. So you can read about all kinds of things that pee can do. This has been used up into the 18th century as a mouthwash, urine has.
In the 1700s, people were still using urine.
Yep.
Okay, so maybe that's helping with dental infections and in some way it's helping brighten your teeth, but I can't help but wonder what that would do for your breath. Because I know what my dog's breath smells like and we all know what they do every day.
That was not addressed in the research I did.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, the Mayans and Aztecs and Incas, they were also doing fun things with their teeth, but they had toothbrushes and toothpaste as far back as 2,500 years ago.
Wow.
In fact, they had better dental hygiene than some people do today. They had dentists and they were filling cavities and they were whitening their teeth and they were dyeing their teeth and they were filing them into different shapes. Yeah. And what was interesting is that when they filed them, you know, you have a center of your tooth. And if you get to that, you kill the tooth. Okay.
Yes.
They had such skill that they were filing them into different shapes and they were not damaging the teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
If you had enough money, they were doing tooth inlays, this really cool decoration where, okay, I'm not going to go too deep on this. So those of you who get dental cringy, we're just going to skip over this really fast. They were drilling a round hole, not very deep, in like your top four teeth, yeah, your bottom four teeth, with quartz powder. They were inlaying pieces of jadeite, iron pyrites, hematite, which is that black shiny stone, turquoise quartz, serpentine, all sorts of different colors. And the average age that they were doing this was between the ages of 21 and 35. It was rarely done on little kids or younger people. You had to become an adult. Mm-hmm. You had to have some money, and then you could beautify those teeth.
All right, my whole body is, I have my hand over my mouth for a lot of that, and my guts are a little tight. I just spent time at the dentist. Shout out to Dr. Woo! Steve! So this is very fresh in my mind, this whole, whew.
Okay, so we've talked about the inlays, and, yep. So let's move on to something a little different, a little more pleasant.
I'm cool with the inlays, actually, if they're adhesive on.
They were. So they drilled the hole.
So it would have a little indent.
So there'd be an indent, yes. Okay. And then they were using resins and things like that to glue the stones in place. We find skeletons now and teeth that still have the stone there.
So you're a poser if you just stick it on without the... it's the like the press-on nail version if you don't have it ground down to make a little space for it. It's like the press-on nail version that you could just stick on, maybe?
No, they wouldn't do that. So if you couldn't afford to do the drill and the inlay, you would have your teeth shaped you would have etchings done in them.
Oh, etchings. Yikes. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling cringy. Okay, let's move on and talk about eyebrows.
Yes, yes. Definitely moving on. there's always a favorite in every episode for me, and this is it. In ancient Greek, young Greek women were thought to be, you could tell that they were a pious and pure young woman by their abundant, bushy, dark brows. So bushy, dark brows. I am a brunette with reasonably bushy. We call them French eyebrows, not because they are like models in France. We're talking like French old man eyebrows in our house. This is my dad and my grandpa. My grandpa's all French. My dad's a lot French. And so French eyebrows in our house, really big, shooting everywhere. That would have been popular in ancient Greece.
So no plucking in the middle. You sent me a picture of this, and we're gonna have to post these pictures. It wasn't a picture. It was YouTube. It was the gal making.
There's both, but there's a video. She does it all. It's amazing.
Yeah, kind of a Frida Kahlo style unibrow all the way across, and that was hot. When was that hot?
That's ancient Greece. So think like the fancy, the very drapey dresses is what she's wearing, and the big fancy tall hair. I always think maybe Gladiator, if they'd had Greek ladies in the Gladiator movie, the eyebrows might have been really different. And apparently there was, they would like a nice taper as you come to the middle. So my husband said, would it be like two caterpillars kissing? And I said, that kind of is what the picture looks like. Or Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, the fingers meeting. That's kind of what you're imagining, but with eyebrows on your face.
I like it.
And they would enhance it if you were not dark and bushy enough, or if you couldn't get full eyebrow meeting in the middle. They would just draw it on. They would make it darker.
Well, see, that would be me, because I have hardly any hair on my body at all. And
I could get there.
I would need like charcoal. I would just glue a piece of charcoal to my face, and then I would have the Greek beauty standard.
I could be a brow donor. Plenty to work with.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Another place where they were donating hair was wigs. In the 17th century, that's the 1600s, this all began. That was the heyday of wigs. And it was started by Louis XIV for a reason that's not exactly pleasant. Syphilis was really prevalent at that time. We didn't know that it was sexually transmitted. One of the biggest side effects of syphilis is hair loss. And so here you got King Louis, and he's losing his hair, and you know, you're not manly if you don't have a lot of locks. And so they started making wigs. People began wearing them. They became more popular, and they became, well, we would say ridiculous. They would say giant. The bigger the hair, the closer to high status. And much like the giant bangs that we aspired to in the 80s, these were gigantic creations of real hair. They pasted them onto wooden frames.
Wow.
Because they were so big, you needed a wooden frame. And they pasted them on with bear grease, beef tallow, or pig lard. And as you can imagine, these fats, as they are on the wig, would get rancid. And they would start to not smell very good. And so two different things were going on. And you're wearing these wigs and you're not taking them off. Some people would leave the wigs on for weeks at a time. Some people would be taking them off. So you can imagine there's lice. And then there's another problem. There were rats.
Oh, gosh.
Rats were attracted, and I imagine mice too, but they talk mostly about rats, were attracted to the fats that were being used to create these wig extravaganzas. And if you had your wig on and you were sleeping at night, you have a wood frame and you have food, rats would crawl into the wig.
Oh my goodness.
And nest in the wig. Can you imagine you're at a party and you've got, and your wig's kind of shifting around and there's little squeaky noises? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The way they would combat this was not, hey guys, you know, I think this wig thing is not working out for us. No, 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 that's not where we went. The way we dealt with this was by creating wig cages.
Oh gosh.
So you might take it off, or if you didn't take it off, you have a cage built out of bone and netting of some kind, and you would put it over the whole wig to keep the animals out of your wig.
Wow.
Just grosses me out the more I think about it. It's just...
That is amazing. Because I have considered this, because you think back, what would they use for beauty products? They'd use things around them, and fat gets hard and it holds things in place. So that makes sense. But I had not considered... I've heard some interesting info on the giant wigs and the people that created them and how artistic they were. But I had not thought about what... Wow.
Yeah. Another interesting point about this was that some people would take the wigs off because of the lice and boil them to get them clean. And then you put on a new layer of your fat and then you have the same problem again. It's going to get rancid. Remember, if you've seen any kind of movie, all these wigs are always bright white.
Yes.
Because we were powdering the wigs. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we powdered the wigs is because the powder, which was often bone meal or wheat flour or white clay or corn flour, we would scent it back in the day with lavender or orange and spices. And then every single day you'd get up, get your wig arranged, and then they would powder it to cover up that smell.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine the end of a party? Hot summer night, standing next to the fire, and you smell like bear lard and lavender. Oh,
yes.
They were not bringing sexy back.
No, they were not bringing sexy back. And then, you know, if you took that wig off, you know, you take this lovely lady home and she takes off the wig.
Things get romantic.
And she has no hair, or she's got like some hair because she's got syphilis, because let's face it, pretty much everybody did at that time. And they all had lice and
wow.
So moral of the story is, if you were rich enough, you would have a powder room. This is where powder room comes from.
Sure.
Where that was all you did in there because it was so messy. You would sit in a chair, you'd hold a paper cone over your face, and some poor schmuck would have to throw this all over you and then brush you off and then get you dressed so that you were ready to go out for the day.
Do you suppose that was a special job or just the lady's maid? If you happen to know the answer, shoot us a line.
Oh, I don't know. The only picture that I saw, and we'll post a couple of these, was of a gentleman, and then his gentleman's gentleman was doing the wig foofing for him.
Foofing is the technical term.
He was powdering. Mm-hmm. He was doing the wig powdering to make him look as beautiful as he could be.
Whew. I wonder what the peasants, that's one of those where there might be some trade-offs to be a peasant, because I'm not sure peasants could necessarily afford that. You see a lot of pictures with little hats.
I did read that if you didn't have the money to do a wig, and in fact, George Washington, they mentioned, did not wear a wig, you would still style your hair like it was a wig if you could.
Wow.
And if you didn't have the money for a nice wig, you would have one probably made out of horse hair, and it would definitely look like a wig. Like a super sketchy toupee that you'd see on like the metal shop teacher. And you're like, that is not hair. He stole that off a hamster and glued it to his head.
That might be part Brillo pad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. We moved that. I believe that fashion was there for a long time.
Right.
The practicality of it took a while to solve the issues behind that. And smallpox and other diseases continued to be a problem, and the big problems for lots of the sections of population. So I'm sure all these powdered wig folks moving into the 18th century, Louis the 15th, in his era, the addition that came with that was mouche, and that's the French word for flies. And that was, some of you, you'll immediately know you, from the fancy, beautiful movies where a lady has a black mole on her face in a weird spot, and it's definitely black. That was very popular in the 18th century in the court of Louis XV and the European courts. They had smallpox, they had STDs, and so they would use lead-based face powder.
Mm, so not good and for you.
Lots of things that lead was used for throughout history that not great. And that's when it would cause pitting on the face. So they would put a little fake mole, and they were silk and taffeta and velvet with gum adhesive.
But it was fabric? It wasn't, yep. It wasn't like, I always imagined it was charcoal or some sort of...
No, you might have a velvet, a raised little piece of velvet on your face. So would men and women would do these. They're covering those scars. The moles would be used to convey a message at times. A mouche on the cheek meant you were a flirt. Near the lower lip suggested you were discreet, but you still wanted to let everybody know you might be interested. even private messages, several sites mentioned. One in Spain, a suitor learned that his beloved's relationship with another man was happening because of a mole on
the face. Oh, snap!
Also, they might have up to a dozen of these on their face.
Okay, that's what I was just wondering, because you were saying covering smallpox scars, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. is this like a Cindy Crawford, you know, one big whammo right there, or were they all over like freckles?
All over. They might be shaped like a heart or a spade. You might have one on the tip of your nose, on your chin, all over the place.
So much potential for mixed messages, right?
Yes. And it sounds like the 18th century version of the, like in the back of the newspapers that have the, hey, I saw you there kind of columns. What are those called? I don't know. It feels sort of like the, that kind of, I'd be interested in getting together if you might like. And I have proclivities in this direction because my mole is on my, right by my nose.
So it's facial Tinder. You like this mole? Swipe right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Meet me out by the woodshed where we will trade syphilis.
We will try our best to avoid the rats.
Oh, no.
They had little boxes. The boxes are quite beautiful, and I'll put a link up to that.
To hold
their collection.
The mouche.
Indeed.
I said it right.
That's mouche.
I'm going to bring you up to now, because I want to spring on you a fun little quiz about our current beauty weirdness. So some of them are, is it real? Is it not? Some of them are, does it work? Does it not? Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, first one, washing your hair with beer.
I feel like that's a thing.
It is a thing.
I feel like it's purposeful, potentially.
Yeah, well, the alcohol in the beer that's going to clean off soap residue and things like this, but the recipe that I found calls for soaking your hair in beer for 5 minutes and then washing it off. And I don't know if I would want to smell like beer.
In the right crowd, that might be.
That's true. You walk into the local pub and they're like, hey, baby. Okay. Second one, putting toothpaste on zits.
I put them on bug bites. I don't know if it helps, but it makes me placebo effect feel better. So I'm going to say yes for this.
Okay. Some people do put toothpaste on their zits, but dermatologists, this one website, the guy was all caps. No, do not do this.
Please stop, good people of Earth.
Because it won't get rid of bacteria. And the minty flavorings and detergents can cause inflammation, which actually make it worse.
Oh, so probably not for mosquito bites either. Stick with the paste of baking
soda. Yeah. Don't do that.
Roger. Okay.
Next one, diaper rash on dry, cracked elbows and feet.
I feel like that's probably like
diaper
a
rash cream.
Yeah, like a barrier cream. So I'm going to say probably it has some emollient. I'm going to throw out emollient factors. Yes.
Well, yes. And as a matter of fact, dermatologists were all over this. If you get your Desitin, I can remember it well.
Butt paste.
If you've had a kid and you've had to change diapers and you're using some sort of this diaper cream, it doesn't wash off. I mean, I think I had Desitin caked into my knuckles for like 3 or 4 years.
You have a low moment where you're you just acknowledge it's not coming off and you rub it onto your elbows.
Yes. So it not only does it moisturize, but it also has anti-inflammatory ingredients. And so they were like all over that. Go for it.
Excellent.
Smell like a clean diaper. Okay, next one. Mm-hmm. Using kitty litter as an exfoliant.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, thank
you. Now, there is a celebrity that swears by this.
Is she blonde?
No.
Oh, okay.
Who I will not name. And she uses a clay-based kitty litter. And everyone was like, for the love of God, there are so many products out there. Just no.
I feel like we've probably lost everybody because they're all Googling who this could possibly
be. Yeah, go ahead. You take
so
your time.
So rewind about 10 seconds.
You go
catch
look.
Us again.
And, you know, this kitty litter thing is definitely one of those items that made me think about the stuff that we were going to be talking about today. Stuff where back in the day, we thought, okay, this is a good idea to use lead-based paint or this is a good idea to use this kind of stuff. And we're still doing this sort of thing where someone says, oh, this is great. And with celebrity culture, a lot of us hop on that bandwagon and give it a shot. Okay, next one. Activated charcoal as a toothpaste and or whitener.
I've seen it. My daughter did a mask the other night with activated charcoal. I'm going to say probably people do that.
Yes, people do it. It's not approved by the FDA.
Okay.
And it whitens, as all whiteners do, by being abrasive. And so dentists were saying, well, yeah, okay, you could use it, but you're going to do damage to your teeth. And because it's not regulated, you know, you could be using fine powder or really hard powder. It does look really gross. I'm going to have to put up a couple pictures of people brushing their teeth with the activated charcoal because it looks like you just did a face dive into a forest fire. Okay, last one for you. Temporary lip tattoos.
That's probably a thing. Oh, gosh. Oh, my. I'm just thinking about the act of tattooing, and I want to put my lips in and talk to you about it.
But this is temporary.
But
and
are they
this
still
is
needles?
Kind of a cool story. No. So, you know, temporary tattoos like you get that you stick on your skin, you know, your arms and your legs, and they're on for a couple of days.
I'm back on board.
Well, there were two sisters. They were 13 and 9, and they were playing around with temporary tattoos and started putting them on their lips. And voila, a business was born. This violent lip tattoos are supposedly good for 4 to 8 hours. They have glitter, polka dots, candy sprinkles, the American flag. But I just kind of like the idea that it was mentioned in several fashion magazines as like, this is the next step in beauty. I think what I like about where we seem to be heading right now is that we can decide to wear lots of makeup or not wear lots of makeup or have super fashionable clothes. There's a much broader, you know, it's not like when we were kids and everybody had to have this watch and everybody had to have these shoes and these kind of things. It's more like, I like this and I'm going to wear it. And with the internet, you're going to find a group of people that are like, yes, I also feel the need to wear cardigan sweaters or, you know, whatever.
That is a good thing. It's nice.
I
you
like
always
that.
Fit somewhere. Come visit us at Brain Junk Podcast. There's going to be lots of fun visuals for this episode. We will find all kinds of, I'm going to find you those really pretty little moosh boxes, and you can see the Greek eyebrows. I'm excited for you guys to see that lady does a nice, you can duplicate that look today if you want with that lady. There's also detailed show notes for those of you who want to read all of this. For this and other wonderful episodes, I didn't stumble on wonderful. They are wonderful. I'm going to own that. For this and other wonderful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find podcasts like iTunes and Google Play Store. If you're into pictures, you can find us on Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast, and you can also find us on Twitter.
Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.